this is Ashley.
And Maggie.
And you're listening to The Watering Hole, a place where animals and animal enthusiasts regularly drink. Every episode, we'll talk about different animals and why they're cool, from basic biology to the threats they face and what people are doing about it, all while under the influence.
We haven't cheersed in a while.
I know. We've been doing the glug, 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 which we think is funny every time. But the audience is over it. Can you move your hair so it's not directly on your microphone?
What do you think I just did?
Okay, your microphone. All right, I'm going to help you. What's new? I mean, I guess I'm not one to talk about microphones.
Oh my God, you're so loud. I know. What, the closer you get.
That is how sound works. I don't know what to tell you. All right. That's good enough. Good enough. For me, it's good enough. How are you, Maggie?
Man, life is just at its busiest right now. Hiring at my current job, we're hiring a new person. I'm still onboarding my existing intern.
Good, good, good.
Doing lots of soccer stuff.
Oh my gosh.
We got the podcast, got the board that I'm on now. It's just too much, Ashley.
She's a busy, busy lady, ladies and gentlemen. But yet she gave us her time tonight. I even delayed her in getting started.
Sorry,
Ollie's over there coughing up a furball.
That's
gone full cat.
It really was. But how are you?
I'm fine.
Usually have a lot of stories to tell.
Oh, well, I can tell about like the very minor but very large bump on my head that I may have gotten a minor concussion from.
Yeah, let's hear about that one again.
All right. So, well, again.
Not again. Me again.
I was like, I did not tell this on the podcast because only happened last Thursday. I mean, it's not that great of a story. I basically took Ollie outside at like 10 o'clock in the evening to go pee one last time. And there's a very low-hanging branch outside the front door that I see it every time. And I'm like, I wonder if I'm going to hit my head on that. And sure enough, I fucking did. Like, I'm pretty sure I was like bending over looking at something or whatever. And I stood up like right into it. Oh, and I still have a lump. But like, I hit so hard. And then I came inside and just kind of sat on the floor for a while.
Yeah, yep.
And I was like, is it bleeding? Like, I was like, this has to be bleeding based on how hard I hit my head.
And how much it hurts.
And how much it hurt. I just grabbed a bag of ice. I just sat in my bed and read. And I was like, I considered texting you and another friend to be like, can you just make sure I wake up tomorrow?
Check on me in the morning? Like, oh my God.
The one thing I feel like you get a concussion you're not supposed to do is sleep. But I was like, I'm going to bed.
It is bedtime.
I'm not going to stop that, so fingers crossed.
Like nobody has severely injured themselves from bumping into a branch by standing up. That's the positive. But we really do have these habits of hurting ourselves.
We need to be supervised.
Did I tell you, like, just in the last week alone, I dropped a hammer on my foot, which had no soccer shoe on it.
I thought you were saying a soccer shoe, and I was like, is that just more protective than a regular shoe?
Sock or shoe. And then today I was lifting weights at home and then forgot to put them away. So after my shower, I'm walking around, didn't see the blue weight on the blue carpet, and then I just stubbed my pinky toe.
No.
Oh God. No. So, yeah, I think the recurring theme here is, like, just check on us, folks.
Check on your lonely friends. Make sure they're okay.
Make sure we haven't just hurt ourselves too much.
Too much. But, yeah, the bump's mainly gone now. But I will say the next time I showered, I could, like, feel my hair pulling on the bump on my head.
That's a terrible, awful feeling. Yeah.
Weird. Oh, my God. But I've recovered, folks. I don't blame anything that I say wrong tonight on my head injury.
Okay.
The entire next day at work, I was like, sorry, bumped my head. Must have forgotten.
Bump my head.
I was like, you can't use that. You've done it three times.
You sound like you're 87.
I know. I full on like just I'll show you the branch because it's got a pointy part, and I'm pretty sure I hit the pointy part.
You hit the pointy part.
And then I almost did it. Every time I go out there, I still am like, now I'm like hyper aware of it. Mm-hmm.
That's what had to happen, unfortunately. I probably look like
I'm scared of the branch. Ooh, I did, sorry, just in line with this podcast, I was on a date. I was talking about hellbenders.
Ooh.
Naturally. But then
I get excited. I'm like, oh, hellbenders on
like,
a date.
Oh, sure. It's a good, well, I was introducing them to hellbenders. But then I found this. What's your hellbender nickname? We've talked about hellbenders before. Mine is, based on this, Scum Beast. And so for those who haven't listened to the Hellbender episode, because we did do Hellbenders, some of their nicknames include Snot Otter, Devil Dog, Allegheny Alligator. They've got a whole plethora of names. So Maggie, your turn. What's your birth month is March.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite color?
Ocean blue or forest green.
Okay, you're either a snot urchin or a snot grampus.
I like snot grampus.
There you go, your favorite color is green.
Yeah.
But I can send that around.
That's great, that's fun. I like those games.
Right?
Where you come up with a new name.
But yeah, I like Scum Beast. It just feels really fitting.
That's a really...
to who I've become.
You're a Scum Beast. That's a great insult.
But yeah.
Would you like some pizza?
Yeah! So, exciting moment on the pod. We're having pizza with anchovies on it.
Yes! My favorite.
Dun, dun, dun. I'm actually excited because I think I'll like it. I think I will.
Before
you yell at me, I'm setting a timer.
Okay. So you've not tried anchovies, period, or anchovies on pizza?
I feel like probably period, other than like in Caesar dressing.
Okay.
I'm going for a chunky one.
Go for it.
Go for a chonker.
That really smushed in your mouth there. I hope that the microphone got all of the noise.
Why would it make that noise? Regular pizza does not make that noise.
I don't know. It's your mouth. You don't like it?
I don't think I do.
Oh, it's so good. It's salty.
Yeah, but it's...
the texture?
No. It's just the wrong kind of salt.
Really? It's just like a bunch of capers are on pizza.
I like capers. Try it again.
No, you're not into it? Oh, more for me then.
More for you.
That's hilarious.
Wow, I really thought I was going to like it.
Well, maybe. It's also been sitting out for a while.
Oh, not that long. Maybe it's just a little too much.
I did really pour on the anchovies.
You went for it. I'll stick to the mushroom side of the pizza. I really had high hopes. Maybe if they were smaller bits. More paper sized.
Maybe.
I'm going to do a palate cleanser, which will be chugging this bottled margarita that I got at the gas station this weekend.
Wow. Good for you. Your mouth is making so many noises this episode.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening.
Are we going to talk about animals today?
Yeah, I'm sure. I got something for you.
Okay.
You ready? We're going to jump right in.
Mm-hmm.
Mouth full of pizza, which we've been having audio issues, so I think this will definitely help.
Enhance.
All right. My clue. This is a luxurious form of sedate consumer.
Fancy something?
Right track.
A luxurious what consumer?
Fumicidae.
If you can't even say that word, how do you think I'm going to know what it is? She looks annoyed.
Fumicidae. It's ants.
Oh, are you doing some kind of royal ant?
Luxurious Fumicidae consumer.
Oh. So is it one of those, some kind of wasp that eats ants? Or like embeds in them?
The second part was better. Eats ants. Otherwise known as
an ant eater?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the king ant eater?
Mm-mm. If you're luxurious, you might wear this. A nice
robe.
Made of.
Kimono.
Made of. It's so smooth and.
Silky.
Silky anteater!
That's right. Of course.
Yay! She got there, folks. All on her own. She didn't need my help. I'm doing the silky anteater. Do you know the silky anteater?
Probably not, because I just know the big gray one with the black and the, he's a giant anteater.
Yeah, this is the opposite. This is the silky anteater, also known as the pygmy anteater, who is the smallest of the anteaters. Smallest known anteater.
Okay.
Or it's a Spanish name. That's incorrect. It's Latin name. Cyclopes didactylus.
Huh. We've had a lot of different animals with, like, cyclopes, like cyclops, I'm guessing.
Mm-mm, that's what I thought.
And then
the cyclopes means circle foot. So cyclo for circle.
Okay.
Pes for foot, I guess. And then didactyl is for two. I wrote it somewhere.
Yeah, dactyl is.
It's like
that
two
before.
Fingers. Okay. Oh, it's two toes, circle foot. Circle foot, two toes. So basically, they have claws. We'll get to this later. But they have claws with. Two little clawsies on it.
two little clawsies.
And then their foot basically can, like, wrap around a branch. So circle foot.
Okay. Wow.
So where that comes from. They're the only living genus in the family Cyclopedidae.
Okay.
There we go. Like I said, they're the smallest of the known anteaters. But how small are they? So adults have a total length ranging from 14 to 18 inches. But that includes their tail. And their tail is like half their... No, don't get larger. The 14 to 18 includes their tail. Their right. tail's included in that. Don't get larger!
But I'm at 14 right here.
And so their tail is like half of it.
Okay.
But so don't include their tail.
But it has to get longer.
No, their tail's included in 18 inches.
But I'm not at 18 yet. This is 18.
That is not 18 inches. You stay right there. Folks... Maggie doesn't know her feet.
I love how that was readily available.
22! 22! No. For those on the watching the YouTube, I knew exactly where my measuring tape was. So 18 max.
Okay.
14.
That is a little bitty anteater.
And most of its tail. Their tail is 7 to 9.5 inches.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. So they're little. And they weigh, guess how much they weigh?
I don't know, 3 pounds.
6.2 to 14.1 ounces.
Oh, so they're less than a pound. They're so small.
This voice has come out more than once in recent episodes. I'm so sorry, world. It's how you talk to Ollie.
It is, I'm also a composer.
That wasn't English.
So
they're very small. And that tail, it's prehensile. Do we remember, folks, what prehensile means?
Yes, it means it's like an extra arm or hand that can grab onto things.
Basically.
Wow, they're so little.
They're very little. Sorry, I'm just cleaning out some of the anchovy from my mouth.
It's not that bad. I tell you.
It's not, but like... It's sticking with me.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. No, I'm glad I tried
it. I'm glad you tried it.
I'm just really surprised that I'm having such a negative reaction. Oh my
gosh. She breaks
Turns
out
I'm actually deathly allergic to anchovies. What a way to find out on podcasts.
It's all recorded.
So other than being small, what do they look like?
Yeah.
Honestly, they look hilarious, I think. They kind of look like little aliens.
Oh.
So they have a proportionately smaller face than, like, when you think of anteaters, you think of, like, a long kind of nose.
Long snoot.
But theirs is, like, kind of a condensed snoot.
Okay.
And they have a larger skull compared to other anteaters. In comparison to their body.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. But basically, you know, they kind of look like an alien.
Can I look them up?
Look them up, because they've got... they also look like really, what's the word? Not developed. It begins with a P. They look,
premature.
That wasn't what I was going for, but kind of. Very Wow.
Primitive.
Primitive. That's the one. They just look primitive.
Okay. What is the name of this animal again?
The silky anteater. They have very dense, very soft fur. Ranges from shades of like gray to yellowish light brown. And then, aren't they hilarious looking?
Oh, I have seen these before, but they are adorable.
They're so cute, but they're like little furry aliens.
Oh my God, you look.
And they move really slow. They're so funny. But yeah, so they range in like different shades of like grays, yellows, kind of, and then they have like a silvery sheen to them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of I think a little bit of where the silky comes from, but.
Oh, okay.
We'll get to that. And then they have black eyes, and apparently the soles of their feet are red. Huh.
I can see that in this particular picture.
See. Oh, yeah! They're fighters, too. We'll get to their fighting.
Oh, my God.
But speaking of feet, like I mentioned, their name translates to two toes, circle foot, because they have two claws on their forefeet, and they can almost encircle an entire branch when clinging. Which, entire branch, I think it depends on the tree,
right.
But that's basically how they're
maybe they kind of just, like, lifted up that branch that got you on the head for you.
They probably could. I should check for silky anteaters. Okay, so where can you find them? You can find them in Mexico through Central America, except apparently they're not in El Salvador, south to Ecuador, northern Peru, Bolivia, and Brazil, also on the island of Trinidad, so southern Central America into the top of South America.
Why not El Salvador?
I don't know. Ask Wikipedia. What kind of habitat do they like? They like a variety of forest types, including semi-deciduous, tropical evergreen, and mangroves, anywhere they got trees, because they are almost completely arboreal. They basically never descend on the ground.
Okay.
They're hanging out in trees. They're also nocturnal, and a big reason for this is that their biggest predator is the harpy eagle and also other birds of prey. But just for like a size comparison, harpy eagles have a wingspan of 6.5 feet. So they're like gigantic. So they can just pluck off these 1 pound silky anteaters if they were to find them.
Eating jelly beans for the eagle.
Right? Can't be nutritious. Move along. But so when they're asleep during the day, they sleep up curled in a tiny wool ball. And then because of their soft fur and the color of it, the anteater resembles seed pods of the silk cotton tree in which it is often found. So it just kind of blends in.
Oh my goodness.
Could you imagine if you found one?
I was just going to say, I'm imagining like walking through the forest, seeing all of these seeds and just being like, that one looks a little fuzzy.
That one blinked at me. Mm. Oh, right? So cute. So what do they eat?
Ants.
Yeah.
Not ants. Okay.
They eat ants. They use their claws to rip open bark, and then they slurp up the ants with their sticky tongues. And like all anteaters, they don't have any teeth. They're all tongue.
That's great. I'm glad you got to use that one.
Thanks. They aren't great hunters, which, I mean, like, who hunts
ants?
I don't know what anteaters are great hunters. I think it's more of a numbers game.
Yeah.
But when they do snatch up food, when they do snatch up ants, they're only getting like 1% of the ants in the colonies. They're
not even good at slurping.
They're hardly making a dent. But I mean, if there's like 10,000 ants, that's like 100 ants. Is that 1% of 10,000?
1%, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Well, it's still good. They consume between 700 and 5,000 ants a day.
That's a really big discrepancy.
It is. You're right.
Wow. Why are they not that good at it?
I don't know.
Like,
I think
because
they're
not
slow.
Are they lazy? Is their tongue not long enough? Do they not know how to use it?
I mean, like, maybe they just don't need to be? Like, if they're getting one, like, why try harder? Like, why do the bare minimum?
Oh.
That's been my...
It's a gray lifestyle.
That for the past couple of weeks, I'm just like, let's cruise on by. So I'm a silky anteater through and through. Just kidding. I do way more than I need to do.
Yeah.
So also they feed on wasps and wasp pupae. Apparently they'll attack wasp nests at night.
Ooh.
Because wasps will be sluggish and sleepy because they're unable to defend themselves. So they're sneaky.
What a terrible way to go.
Right? Death by tiny anteater.
While sleeping. You just wake up, like, and it's a slow tongue just, like, slurping you up.
And you're like, fuck, fuck, fuck!
Too late!
So sad. They are primarily solitary. They give birth to a single, fully furred offspring, like, twice a year. And, like other anteaters, they'll hang on their back. They carry their babies on their back. Little baby backpack.
Little baby backpack.
But, and then one of their cutest and most ferocious behaviors is that when they are threatened, although their primary defense is to remain undetected because they're fucking tiny, they will defend themselves by standing on their hind legs and holding up those very vicious claws so that they can strike anything that gets close.
Oh my gosh.
But, I mean, that's no way to defend yourself against a harpy eagle.
What's the success rate on that?
Probably low. Almost as low as how many ants they eat in a colony.
Less than 1%.
And I put that as threatened and then forgot to list their actual threats.
Oh, that's okay.
So, but there really are no major threats to silky anteaters, although in some areas they are captured and kept as pets in captivity and then... just based on where they're located, I'm going to go with deforestation as a pretty solid guess. I'd guess money on that. But yeah, look them up. They're so incredibly funny looking to me.
They're really
also
cute.
Very cute. Also, like, their eyes are always, like, kind of closed. Like, they always look like they're a little asleep. So, yeah, that's Silky Anteater.
Silky Anteater, yay!
Ooh. Are you being an anteater or are you quoting me?
No, I was being an anteater.
Oh, okay. Good, good, good.
With the two claws. Super cute. So have definitely seen pictures of these guys before, but once again, per usual, I've never attributed the name to the face.
Yeah.
So this is great.
To
thank
the very
you.
Very cute, funny looking face.
That is adorable and so tiny. Like, I really want to go see one of these in the wild.
But I think they are pretty difficult to see because they are nocturnal and small, and they're like one of the least studied of the anteaters.
Makes sense.
But we'll find them. We'll find them, Maggie.
Let's go. We'll do it. Okay. Are you ready for the next animal, gang? Ashley?
Yeah. I speak for the entire gang when I say, yeah.
Dogs. Our dogs are so sleepy today because of the rain.
Oh, no.
Thank God, though. We need the rain so badly. I feel like such an old geezer saying that, but it's so true.
We needed the rain.
We really needed it. So, here is... your hint. It's an insect that comes with its own invisibility cloak.
I know the podcast listeners can't see me, but you can, if you're watching, you can see me thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
there are things happening. I promise you.
The head is darting around, the brain is wobbling around in there.
Its own invisibility cloak. Mm-hmm. Can you continue?
I don't have that many more clues.
Oh, no.
So invisibility cloak could also, I'm going to describe that a little more specifically to help you along. It has wings that make a pretty window.
It's a stained glass butterfly.
You're so close.
Stained glass moth.
Farther
stained
away.
Stained glass grasshopper. Stained glass hopper.
Colder.
Stained glass. The words lost all meaning. Stained glass. Slug?
Even colder.
Stained glass praying mantis.
I said you were close when you said stained glass butterfly. And you keep getting further and further away.
Stained glass. I said moth.
Yeah, stick with butterfly.
Stained glass.
Stay there.
Monarch?
No. It's not stained glass.
Oh, God! Okay. I think I need help.
All right. It's the glass wing butterfly.
Oh, okay.
Have you heard of these guys?
No, I have not.
Super cool. I mean, they are exactly as they're described, which is very helpful, I guess. Mm-hmm. Thanks, biologists. So, whereas some butterflies use camouflage to blend into their surroundings to evade predators, others use aposematism, which is like using bright colors to ward off predators and say, hey, I'm toxic.
Mm-hmm.
This butterfly has transparent wings
uh-huh.
that basically allow them to blend into whatever background they are on.
What?
Yeah.
But so what about their body?
You can see through their wings. So their body is just a basic, like, beigey, black and tan colored. So their Latin name is Greta Otto. They're in the family Nymphalidae, or brush-footed butterflies, of which there are 6,000 species throughout the world.
Dang.
Brush-footed butterflies, that is, not glass-winged. So they are found in dense subtropical and tropical forests of South and Central America, which is where we just were for this silky anteater. Silky.
Silky anteater.
Came out real funny. So they can be found as far north as Texas sometimes, and as far south as Chile.
Okay, okay.
They're pretty small, like a lot of butterflies. I don't, you know what? I shouldn't even say like a lot of butterflies, because of brush-footed alone, there are 6,000 species. So there are just so many. They come in all shapes and sizes. But to give you an idea, the average wingspan is 5.6 to 6.1 centimeters. That's 2.2 to 2.4 inches.
Don't worry, guys. I still have the...
tape measure out.
What was it? 2.2
to 2.4 inches.
Oh. Oh, that's lit.
That's their wingspan.
Oh, my God.
So basically, like, the size of your pointer, maybe your middle finger, that's the length of their wingspan. It's insane.
My fingers are longer.
Well, you've got big hands.
I got... Rude. My ring finger. Right there.
There you go. So their wings are not fully transparent, but imagine some stained glass, which is the track you were on earlier.
I'm really trying with that one.
And then stained glass, shape of butterfly wings, and just remove all the color from that stained glass. So you still see like some of the outline.
The lines and stuff. Nice, nice.
And then outline it all with some brown.
Okay.
So that's kind of what they look like.
I like it.
Very cool. They do have a white stripe at the top of their wing that can also kind of look transparent a little bit. And as I said, their body is just kind of this very neutral color that almost looks like a stick. The caterpillars, they also exhibit some of these transparent characteristics with their exoskeleton. It's made of something called chitin. You're familiar?
I've heard of chitin.
Oh, okay. I had not. And it's just this part that lacks pigment entirely. So
who needs it?
Don't need it. Other butterflies' wings are made, getting into like what this chitin kind of does for the wing once they're an adult. Other butters. Their wings are made of extremely tiny overlapping scales, and they can make beautiful designs and colors with these little scales. It also protects them from the elements. But what makes the glasswing butterfly so cool is that they don't have these scales that every other butterfly has. Their wings are made of this same chitin thing. Yeah. They are nano pillars of wax.
What?
Like, it's so, so, so small. We cannot see it with the naked eye. But it's essentially these nano pillars of wax are nature's own anti-glare. So if you take this away, which scientists have done with deceased glasswing butterflies, if you remove it from their wings, it's actually pretty shiny, like actual glass, and shimmery, and it takes away all of the elusiveness of being invisible.
Folks, Mackie went hard with her research this time around, I gotta say.
What I was doing at 2:30 in the morning last night.
This is what happens when you can't sleep.
Yeah. It's just like, I'm going to go in on this butterfly.
Heck yeah, man.
They are also known as espejitos in Spanish-speaking nations, not just glasswing. Feel like, you know, we often give the English and Latin name, but when there's another language name, it's fun to give that because they're not just known by the fucking English name. Like, anyway. Though they are tiny, they are mighty. Ooh. They can carry up to 40 times their own weight.
Wait, no.
Yeah.
No.
How do we know this? I don't know, but this was cited multiple times. What are they carrying? I don't know.
What is... they're just, like, carrying coconuts around? That's all I can imagine.
Yeah, what are they carrying? I'm guessing, like, they're moving branches. They're building houses.
They're the ones who put the branch out that I hit my head on. I was they sabotaged by a glass-winged butterfly.
They could like probably lift a silky anteater. I don't know.
Ooh, we should do the math on this. Not right now, but maybe one day. Maybe someone one day. Do the math for us
and then submit it.
Yeah, do help us, please, and then give us money.
We need a lot of help, frankly. Okay, males are known to exhibit lecking. Throwback. Do you remember what this is?
We love a good leck.
Sure do. So what is lecking, actually?
It's like males competing for females and like they don't own a territory, but they're like in a territory and they're like showing off and but like yeah, there's no ownership of the territory. They're just like, this is where I'm gonna show off, and everyone shows off in the same area.
Yeah.
And so they're like, what's up?
Didn't mannequin birds do this too?
Yeah.
Okay. So exactly what Ashley said. Males.
Exactly. You can look it up in a textbook.
And verbatim.
It'll say that for sure.
Males will congregate in a given space to display mating acrobatics and whatnot. They'll also release pheromones for the ladies. Mm. Just like, hey, you want to come hang out with me and make some eggs. Eggs are laid on the underside of leaves.
Nice.
In the nightshade family.
Ooh.
Which are toxic to humans.
I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Notoriously not good.
Not good for us. So we'll leave them alone. Then the caterpillars, they munch around on a poisonous plant belonging to the genus Cestrum. It's a shrub of aromatic flowers.
Hmm.
Then once they get into the chrysalis stage, metamorphosis takes about a week. As adults, they primarily eat nectar of somewhere between 150 flower plant species. They also consume flowers and bird droppings.
Oh.
So, yeah, they'll eat a lot.
Those are different.
They'll eat a lot of different flowers. Flowers
and bird droppings. Yeah. To be fair, bird droppings probably taste a lot like whatever the bird ate.
Probably some seeds.
I don't speak from experience. I'm just assuming.
Yeah. Okay, so I just talked about, like, the mating, the laying eggs, the
life
caterpillar
cycle.
Metamorphosis, and then being an adult. This all happens in a 6 to 12 week span. That's how long they live.
Dang.
Yeah.
Dang.
Really quick life cycle.
Just, they gotta keep moving.
Life is fleeting, everybody.
Yeah. Live life like a glass-winged butterfly. That's why I always say you got 6 to 12 weeks.
Oh, God. There's so much I need to do then. Ooh. Quit everything. Head of the coast.
Woo!
All right. They are also migratory in all of this time.
Damn. Do they find the time?
I was just going to say, they pack a lot into a short amount of time.
We need to research their time management skills is what we need to do.
I really admire the glass-winged butterfly. They can travel up to 11 miles or 19 kilometers at speeds of 8 miles per hour or 13 kilometers per hour, which is cruising speed on a treadmill.
That's true. I don't run 8 miles per hour on a treadmill.
That's
I can, but it's not my base pace.
There you go.
I'm more of a 6.7 miles per hour.
That's good. That's great.
Thank you.
That's good. They migrate to change elevations, not distance.
Okay. They're going
and
altitudinal.
Exactly. And this migration, what are these notes I wrote? I don't understand. All right. This migration causes there to be population density differences in varying geographical areas. It makes sense now that I read it out loud.
Okay. Yeah. So there are different amounts of
butterflies depending on where they migrate.
Are. Yeah. You got it, Maggie.
I got to get there on my own time. Their conservation status, unknown. When they were first discovered, unknown, because just the internet doesn't have a lot of info.
Internet.
I'd love to do some more
research.
They
were discovered pre-internet.
Yeah.
Probably.
So that's it. That's the glass wing. I think just really freaking cool that they've made their own version of camouflage just being invisible.
Yeah. There's like, so you can see right through me. How'd you find them? What was the inspiration?
I really wanted to do a butterfly species, and so I Googled a bunch of different ones, and that one struck me as the most interesting at 2:30 in the morning.
Nice.
Yeah.
I need to do my research at 2:30 in the morning. I set an alarm for myself, waking up.
Don't do it. It's not great.
No.
That being said, what also isn't great is citing us in anything academic. I love trying to make segues.
I was like, what else is not great? Oh.
Citing us in anything professional or academic, don't do it. We're animal enthusiasts. We just want you to get excited about animals like us. Right? Right.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on this episode. If you like our podcast, make sure you subscribe wherever you're listening and maybe leave us a review because it'll help us reach more animal enthusiasts like you. You can also visit us on Instagram. I don't know if those were words. You can also find us on Instagram at The Watering Hole Pod, on YouTube at The Watering Hole Pod, and you can visit our website, thewateringholepod.com. Tune in next time when we learn about more animals, their biology and habitat, the threats they face, and what people are doing about it. If it's on the internet. If not, we might be able to help you.
If not, we don't know, because we can't dig that deep. We don't have that kind of budget. All right, bye!